and stronger. We pray, Father, that we would be inspired by your word and that you would move in a powerful way, that we would, you know, be motivated, be enlightened, be educated in some kind of way, be re-inspired, help restore the joy of our salvation, whatever it is, but that we walk away getting closer to you and carrying just an incredible amount of joy and love because we know you better. We love you, we pray, and we ask all of this in your son's name. Amen. You know, in order to have a strong relationship with someone, you have to have great communication. You can't have a good relationship if you don't communicate. Am I right, husbands?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jesus modeled a great relationship with God. And he wants to teach us as well how to have a great relationship with God, especially through prayer. You know, in the scriptures, Mark 1:35, it says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. In Luke 5, verse 16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Hebrews 5, 7 teaches that during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. You know, Jesus himself, as a human being, could not do and carry on what God intended without God. But he was God. But he was man. He got hungry. Or hangry, as we, you know, that new word. I experienced it this week. But he had to rely on God, just like us, because he was a man. You know, when I think about prayer sometimes, I don't realize it is essential. You cannot try to live the Christian life on your own strength, on your own power. You cannot be a husband to your wife. You can't be the father to your kids. You can't be the co-worker. You can't even be good to yourself without God and without help. Jesus taught us how to commune, how to rely, how to cope, how to overcome. He taught us part of the Christian life is learning how to rely on God. And so this morning I got 2 points. We're going to talk about God's purpose in prayer and God's plan. God's purpose and God's plan. Turn your Bibles to John 14. John 14. Okay, I'm going to start with God's purpose for prayer. John 14, and it says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, you read passages like this, and you're like, well, hey, if I ask Jesus for something, he's going to give it to me. So, I just need to ask. Yes, you can, my friend. But it doesn't work exactly like that. Look at what he says. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, there is a underlying understanding that Jesus had. He gives us a purpose behind prayer. And it's not to just get what you want. Part of what he came to earth to do was to give glory to God. And so constantly in his mind, you hear him talking about God's glory, God's glory, God's glory. And so while he's doing things, it was also to help people see and recognize this guy's from God. So that people wouldn't look at him, but they would say, God. Are you with me, church?
Yes.
Look at John chapter 11. This is another illustration. Verse 40. And we know the story. Lazarus died. Jesus comes back to town. He comes a few days late, so to speak. But he was teaching a lesson. And so he comes back and he says, where did you lay him? He goes to the tomb. And then in verse 40, it picks up. And Jesus says, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me. See, Jesus' life and in his prayers was constantly about helping people see God, give God the glory. You know, sometimes we want the glory. We do things, right, because we want people to see just how awesome we really are. We want them to know. I did that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, and most of you know, a number of my family members have become Christians. Up to date, 13 have become disciples.
Amen.
That's good, and sometimes that's bad. Because now I found myself worrying more. Gotta make it. But what if I thought, well, it's because of the prayers that I prayed. It's because of the calls that I made. It's because of the conversations that I had. And think it's all about me.
Right.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. However, who is going to call? Who is going to have those conversations?
Right.
Who is going to be that connection that nobody else has that connection? And so it's important that you and I have a right mindset. Part of the purpose that we pray is to give God glory.
Right.
And to constantly recognize what he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do. And Jesus had that so on clear that it's not about me. It's not about this. It's about what my Father has done. See, do you aim to glorify God through your prayers? Let me say that again, because that was choppy. Do you aim to glorify God through your prayers, or is it all about you getting what you want? Because we got to remember, it's not just about what we want. But wait a minute, Russ. It says prayers and petitions. I'm not just wanting what I want. I'm trying to help other people. That's true. But you know, we are, as human beings, we're complicated people. We can say, well, I want that for that reason, but then we got this other little tucked in reason over here that we're not telling you about. It's funny. James chapter 4 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You know, Sarah and I have this conversation all the time. She says, why aren't disciples hitting the picket? Why aren't disciples reaching the Mega Million or the Powerball Gazillion? Because I say, if we did win, we'd lose our minds. And it'd probably take us right away from God real quick. And so sometimes we're justifying. We're like, yeah, I'm getting this ticket because if I hit, I'm going to buy the church a building. And we ain't got to run around and go over here and do this, that. And you might. We say stuff like that. We think stuff like that. But there's a reason that it's not happening. And then you need to thank Jesus for that. But you know, another purpose in prayer, Matthew 26, you can write it down, verse 40 through 41, Jesus is in the garden, and it says that then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. You know, brothers and sisters, another purpose for our prayer lives and for us to pray, we're in a battle.
That's right. Yes.
We're in a spiritual battle that the evil one has a diabolical scheme to literally stop you and I from pursuing God, from actually getting down on our knees to pray. When you get up in the morning and you don't feel like doing it, that ain't just because you're getting older or you had a tough day at the gym.
Come on.
Those demons don't want you to get down on your knees and get connected and have that power time that's going to help you think the way God wants you to think and help you make decisions that God wants you to make. There are spiritual evil forces trying to prevent you from doing what God wants. Jesus gives us a great illustration here about dealing with our emotions. Let me say this. Our emotions are powerful. And if we do not put them in check by going to God in prayer, we will lose that battle. And we'll give in to how we feel. Even though we got the Spirit of God in us that says, no, you're not a slave to your sins, your emotions. Sometimes I fail miserably, in going with what God wants, even though it's up here. But I can't do it without God. That time that you and I get on our knees is so critical. But we got to remember, we're trying to give glory to God. It's not about us getting what we want. Right. And believe me, guys, God wants to give us more than we could ever ask or imagine. That is not the issue. The issue is, are we ready? Are we prepared that when he answers that prayer, that we're going to take make the right use of it? You know, the other day we had a little snowstorm here in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, you know, my close friends, Keith Jackson, I always ask him, Russ, how's your patience? Because I've been working on that for like a decade. Well, I guess the Lord said, you need a little bit more, son. My daughter had a visit up to Patterson University. And so, and again, Sari called me. She's like, honey, can you go get Blair? Because, you know, I'm going to do that. And I'm like, okay, I'll get her. What did I say yes to? I left my house at 2:35 to go pick up my daughter.
Dude.
And I got to the college at 8:54.
Wow.
Okay? And I know some of you, you know, experience different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's only 17 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
6 hours, I could be in Virginia. I might be doing the top 80s. But I could be in Virginia in 6 hours. But you know, as I was, you know, frustrated, irritated, and then actually I really appreciated that we changed. Because I had some scary moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying to go up a hill, and then I'm fishtailing like this, and then I got stuck. I had to call the cops. I had to call the AAA or the roadside service, and then, you know, these, you know, angels from God came. I was like, dude, can you just, like, push your truck on the bottom of my van and just push me up the hill? And he's like, no, man, it's a new car. So he came out, he tried to help a little bit, and then he left. And then this other guy came and he said, I'm sorry to tell you this, you just got to turn around and go back down the hill. I'm like, dude, I don't want to hear that. But I had to go back down the hill. And then I, you know, got there eventually. But you know what? Why does God let things like that happen? Maybe I needed that prayer time, that communion in the car. I don't know. But here's what I do know. God allows challenges in our lives to sometimes help us to get out of the mindset that we can do it. And he's trying to help us learn how to rely on him. Church, remember God's purpose. Let's glorify God, not ourselves. And let's remember this powerful tool that we have to overcome temptation. That no temptation has seized us except what's common to man. God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But when tempted, the way out is prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Secondly, let's talk about God's plan. God's plan. I'm going to speed up here because we got the kids in the house. You know, in the Lord's prayer, Jesus starts out. In the Lord's prayer, Jesus starts out, "Our Father." Right? And as I said, you read through that prayer, he's not giving us something to recite and regurgitate. Instead, he's giving us a skeleton and showing us how to pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he says to his Father, "Not my will, but your will be done." You know, when he prayed that prayer, "Thy will be done," there's two things Jesus is saying there. One, he's saying that God's will be his will. When you pray, "God's will be done," you're saying, "God, I want your will to be my will."
Yes.
Secondly, when we pray that prayer, we're also praying that his will prevail over the earth as it does in heaven. In heaven, things work God's way.
Right.
There's no issues up in heaven. There's no uncertainty and, you know, craziness. But, you know, sometimes we can get stuck when it comes to praying for God's will to be done. And what do you mean we can get stuck? You know, when you became a Christian, sometimes you can start to think like, well, if God already knows what's going to happen, if he's sovereign over all, what's the need? Why should I pray? Because he already knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And if, you know, he's in control and he knows everything, why should I pray? And so sometimes what happens is we can begin to just pray out of obligation. Or it can just become like, you know, at the table, if, you know, when you're at dinner, it's like, okay, let's say grace. God is grace. God is good. Thank you for this food. Amen. And it's just this thing that we do. Or it's an obligation. You know, Bible says pray. Okay, I need to pray. And we get down on our knees and we just pray the prayer. But you know, sometimes, again, that's kind of a mindset, a heart. But then there's another prayer that sometimes we can pray. Turn over to Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, this is the story where Peter was captured and they were going to, possibly execute him. And God did a miraculous escape. And he's in the cell, the chains fall off, doors start opening up. I mean, this is like serious godly power, supernatural thing. And what had happened was the church got together at one of the disciples' house and they were praying for this very thing to happen. And so it's happening and Peter comes knocking on the door. And so in verse 12 it says, when she recognized, this is the servant girl, Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening and exclaimed, Peter's at the door! Peter's at the door! You're out of your mind, they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him. They were astonished. You know, the other way we can sometimes pray is that they apparently had been praying. They were on their knees. They were crying out to God. But they didn't really believe that it was going to happen. Our prayer lives, sometimes it can be very weak because we don't pray in faith. You with me, church?
Yes.
We do not expect prayer to change the situation or the God that we're talking to about the situation. We don't really expect it. Sometimes we pray out of a sense, as I said, of duty and obligation, and we're just going through the motion, but there's no faith in that prayer that says God can do this. Now, I don't know how long it may take, or I don't know when I got to go through it, but I believe that God can do this.
Wow.
And therefore, I pray. And therefore, I believe. Jesus, he even gives us a parable. Luke 18, verse 1. And he's talking about this widow and how she kept going to this judge, and he was a, you know, not a very nice guy. But the Bible says because she kept coming and wore him out, she granted him justice. But I love Jesus' words. He says, always pray, never give up.
Right.
Always pray, never give up. You know, 1 Timothy 2, 4 says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, God wants everybody to be saved. The fact that people aren't being saved isn't because God doesn't want it.
Wow.
It's just that people aren't hearing. People aren't getting into the word and getting the message and understanding the plan. But it's also beautiful when you see people hear the message, when you see people respond to the word, and you see people actually obeying what God actually says and coming to faith. And you think, wow, how did that happen? Well, God did it. You know, I asked the sister if she would share with us this morning just an example of perseverance and faithfulness to God. And I'm going to let her tell her story. And, let's enjoy this.
Hi, my name is Jackie Knight, and I've been asked to share with everyone about my new job and what it took to get that job. Back in November 2015, I was working in corporate America for one of the largest petroleum oil company in the world. I made a very, very good salary, and I'm very grateful and thankful for it. I accomplished much. But come November 2015, the company went through some very hard times, and my role was restructured, and I lost my job. I began to look for a job and didn't find a job until this year, November 2018. 3 years. Those 3 years were a very challenging time for me. But what brought me through it was remembering the scriptures, taking the scriptures like St. Deuteronomy and wearing it as a necklace around my neck and having them written on my heart. I will constantly quote the scriptures and remember the scriptures, hold myself accountable to the scriptures, and then hold those around me accountable as well. Calls regarding a job offer, and it was amazing, a really good job offer. And I accepted it, and I think a couple of days after I accepted that job, I got a call for two more jobs. And I just started to laugh because I always remember that God is faithful. And anytime I was out of a job, it's because God wanted me to be in a certain place at a certain time in a certain circumstances so that I can share my faith and see others become disciples.
You know, she shared that she had to wait 3 years, 36 months, but remain faithful. And it wasn't easy, but God's timing is really the best time. And not only did he bless her with one offer, he blessed her with two other offers.
Amen.
Church, to pray in the right way is to pray in faith. Believing that God hears our prayers. God answers our prayers. And let us remember that when we pray for God's will to be done on earth, we are actually rebelling against the worldly ideas and the system of the world and what Satan wants. Instead, we're saying, no, we want what God wants. God's will being done rebels against ungodliness. It rebels against worldliness. Let's follow our Lord who lived in perfect harmony with our Father, with God our Father, through constant communion with him, as he understood God's purpose in prayer and as he followed God's plan through prayer. To God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand and sing one more song before we close out. And let's give Russell a round of applause for the great message.
Yeah.
On how we need to give glory to God, amen. And God wants everyone to be saved.
Amen.
Let's take the Lord. In order for us to do that, we got to take the Lord with us, amen. Spread the message, amen.
You gotta take the Lord with you, children. Everywhere you go, you gotta take the Lord.